Well, I'm going to let you participate also in our scripture this morning. It's a little differently than what we typically do. You can find it in your bulletin, or the words will be projected up on the wall behind me. And our scripture this morning is going to be in the form of responsive reading. I will do the leader part, and if you would, read the congregational part. It comes from Matthew chapter 6, and this is what it says. Pray then this way, our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And do not bring us to the time of trial. The word of God for the people of God.
A few years ago, it was a very nice spring day. Sun was shining. It was about 75 degrees or so. And, well, it had been one of those days where I thought, I'm going to get out and enjoy the nice weather. Just kind of clear my head, get some fresh air. And so I took my sack lunch and I went outside and I found a bench and sat down and started eating. Well, I noticed across the street there was a lot of construction going on over there, or getting ready for construction. There was a track hole digger digging out a big place for, I guess, what was soon to be a basement. There was also a bulldozer on the property that was taking a pile of dirt and kind of spreading it out and leveling it out. It looked as though that was going to become kind of the platform or foundation for which they would build a building on. And there was also another piece of equipment, and all it did was compact the soil that the bulldozer spread around. Now, with three pieces of equipment like that running, it was really loud. It was kind of interesting. I mean, ground that had already been compacted, you could see loose soil jumping about an inch or so off the ground just because of sheer vibration because of the equipment. And it was so loud, in fact, that you could be standing next to somebody and shout in their ear, and I don't think they would have heard you. In fact, that was kind of the case when this dump truck pulled up full of another load of dirt. I didn't hear it. Now, fortunately, I wasn't standing in the way. I was over to the side. I didn't hear it until they put it in reverse. And then that loud beeping noise that happens, you know, anytime big equipment goes into reverse, beep, beep, beep. Of course, it's much louder than high and higher than I can get, but you get the idea. And it lets everybody know, get out of the way, big load's backing up. You know, I got to thinking about that the other day, and, well, it occurred to me, wouldn't it be nice if there was some kind of alarm or warning signal like that that would go off, a loud beep, anytime sin or temptation was heading our way. Beep, beep, you know, kind of like, hey, big dummy, get out of the way. Here comes some sin and temptation that's you just don't even need to fool with. Move. Well, in all my search of Scripture, and it's not perfect, but I haven't found a provision for that yet where God provides that kind of warning. But you know what I did find? I found that God has some tools that help us deal with temptation. And that's what I want to talk with you about. But you know, we're all tempted at times, aren't we? Let me share two of my temptations. If you get out on I-65 and head south, like on the way to the Gulf Shores or something, stop off in Clanton, Alabama. There's a place there called Peach Park. Oh, well, there's two things there that really tempt me. One of them is a caramel cake that, well, it looks about this big and it seems like it weighs about 35 pounds. And it's the kind of cake that once you take a bite, you think, oh, you cut this little bitty slice because you say it's going to be rich. I don't want to eat too much. I'm going to be good. But it's one of those cakes when you take that bite, after the aftertaste of that bite says, that was pretty good. You know, I could do with just one more bite. And that continues several times until you've eaten about a quarter of the cake. And you're trying to figure out why in the world you just did that. You know? There's another one there, or another sweet that kind of tempts me, and that is the fried peach pie. It just kind of hangs off the plate. It's so big. And I always tell myself, well, I'm going to eat half or three quarters of this. I'm going to put the other in a box. And I don't remember that until the last bite goes in my mouth and I remember what I said I was going to do. I didn't end up doing it. And oh, now I'm just full as can be and I'm ready for a nap. I don't want to get back in the car and drive. I want someone else to drive. But they're not going to drive because they're taking their naps from the sugar that they just put in. And I think, why did I do that? So I came up with another way of dealing with it. And sometimes it works, other times it doesn't. I just go in, tell them I want about six in a box to go. And I'll just take it with me. When we get down to Florida, we'll just open it up and anybody can have any. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The times it works, that's when I tell people where the box is. And the times it doesn't work is when I kind of keep that secret a little bit longer. I keep that card a little close, and so I enjoy their peach pies. But friends, wouldn't it be neat if we had some kind of warning, just like a dump truck backing up, that says sin or temptation headed your way. Move out of the way. Well, we all know about temptation, and we also know that there are temptations that are much more serious than peach pie or caramel cake. Jesus did. You remember after his baptism, John the Baptist had baptized him. He then got up and he was led out into the wilderness. And there for 40 nights and 40 days, he prayed, he was fasted, and he was tempted. Well, the tempter came along and tried to tempt Jesus. You know, after 40 days of nights of fasting and praying, I imagine he was a little bit hungry, don't you think? And so Satan said, yeah, you see those stones on the ground right there? They kind of look like a shape or the form of a loaf of bread. If you are who you say you are, why don't you just turn that stone into bread? Jesus responds with the word of God. Then he goes on and he's tempted again. Throw yourself off the highest part of the temple, blah, blah, blah. You know, same routine. So Jesus knew the hardships of temptations. In fact, Matthew 4:11 tells us that afterwards, even though Jesus emerged victorious, that the angels came and ministered to him. So Jesus knows how hard temptation can be, and I believe that's why he was moved with compassion to put this next petition in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Now, that's kind of an odd prayer to pray, don't you think? I mean, because sometimes when you think about it, you wonder if you're saying, God, everything's going to be fine if you just won't lead me into temptation. Everything's going to be fine if you just don't take me to the evil one. I'll be okay. But is that what we're praying? No, not at all. It's not even consistent with the rest of Scriptures. James 1:13 says, when you are tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone else. Instead, aren't we praying, God, lead us away so we're not even confronted by temptation? Lead us away so that we're not even never come face to face with evil or the evil one, as some translations say. And we need a prayer like this because deep down we all know we have some weak spots and places in our lives where we are easily tempted or more susceptible to temptation than to others. We're all tempted. James put it this way, very practically. He says, listen, everyone is tempted. They're tempted by their own evil desires. They're dragged away by their desires that entice them. And after the desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And once sin is full grown, it gives birth to death, spiritual death. So how does that kind of work or play out in a person's life? Well, let me just give you a rough draft of how that could play out in your life or in mine. Someone or something comes along and, well, it appeals to our fleshly nature. It arouses that deep desire within us. And we begin to look at it. And we, kind of like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, look at that and say, that looks good. I like the way that looks. And then if we don't repent and turn from that road, we'll continue on and And we'll mull it over in our minds, and then we'll start to imagine, well, wonder what it would be like if we tried it. And then we'll go on and we'll get to the place, if we continue on that road, and we'll say, well, you know, the wrong that we're considering, it's not that bad anyway, because, you know, everybody else is doing much worse. And if we continue on that road, then we will partake of whatever it is and usually end up with regret, hurt, and pain. And the question is, what do we do? Is there any way to overcome it? And of course, the answer is yes. We're not helpless. We're not hopeless. 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us of this. No temptation has seized you or anyone else that's common to all people. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can withstand under the pressure. Well, it'd be nice if there are warning signals, but there aren't. They're just tools. And one of those tools is prayer. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He came back to His disciples and said, can't you stay awake just for a little while? You know, pray lest you fall to temptation. Watch and pray. But what do we pray? What should we be praying when we do that? Oh, Lord, help a fried peach pie not to smell so good. Help me not to smell it. Oops, too late. I just smelled it. Forgive me, Father, for the evil I'm about to do, for I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, we do. Instead, how about we begin praying, Lord, lead me away from temptation. Deliver me from evil. Lead us away from temptation because, Lord, we have a nose for it. Lead us away from the tempter because we have the tendency in this area to be more susceptible to temptation than others. Lord, lead me away from circumstances that I don't need to be in. What if we prayed a prayer like that every morning before we started the day? What if we prayed that God would protect us from wrong choices that would present themselves to us throughout the day? Friends, when we begin to push in through prayer like that, I'm telling you, we begin to experience the power and the presence of the one who is able to deliver us from slavery, Satan, sin, and even our own selves. God doesn't want us to fail. God doesn't want us to fall. He cares for you. He looks at us like we look at our children or our grandchildren. So pray. Lord, lead us. Lead us away from temptation. There's another tool that we can use. It's God's Word. There's power, divine power that rests in God's Word. And when we couple that with faith, we activate the power of God's Word. And it is life-giving power. And because of that, we can use God's Word to change our focus. Let me give you an example. You know how, like a toddler, there's in a playroom, so to speak, and there's toys everywhere. And their eyes light on one, and they're just waddling this way over to it, and then something over here kind of catches their eye, and they're off like this, you know. Whatever gets our focus is going to get us. So we use God's Word to change our focus, to put it back on the straight and narrow path, to read about the wisdom that's there for us, to read about the life and the death that happens when we follow or when we break God's Word. We follow it. We change our focus. So there's prayer that we can use, but there's also God's Word. Divine power rests in God's Word, and we activate it with our faith by believing and by standing on His Word. The guidance given to us through Scripture lets us know that temptation is a big ordeal. It's not an easy thing. It is a challenge, but we're not helpless. We're not hopeless. We can use Scripture to change our focus, to return us, or to turn us around. And we will discover that great truth as said in 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. Another tool that we can use for overcoming temptation is the fellowship and support for each other. Yes, again and again, Scripture refers to the church as a body that is meant to work together, to build the kingdom of God, but also a body that's here to nurture one another. When one of us is having a hard time, a, a great regret, or we're wounded, or whatever it might be. A time when we feel weak and about to give in to temptation, we're to work and pick each other up. Listen to the way Paul writes it in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if a person is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. But bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law, not the suggestion of Christ, the law of Christ. Well, let me ask you this morning, is there any area of your life where you are struggling with temptation? If so, let me tell you, the worst thing that any of us can do is to try to hide it. It makes it stronger and harder for us to overcome. What we need is a good, mature Christian friend or pastor or counselor, somebody whom we can go to and just be honest with, and allow them to be honest with us in love, and just articulate whatever it is that tempts us, that frequently tempts us. It's one or two things that seem to have our number, and we just have a tendency for that one or two things. Sometimes just by articulating it, it lessens the power of that temptation over us. There's another tool that we can use to battle temptation, and that is the knowledge of knowing ourselves. There are just some circumstances and situations we know better than to put ourselves in the middle of. Because when we do, we usually end up hurt, embarrassed, in pain, or filled with regret. Let me give you an illustration by Lois Lampley. My understanding is it's a true story. I read it out of one of Max Lucado's books, but it's Lois Lampley's encounter. It's about a couple who was going snow skiing. And the wife wasn't all that excited about snow skiing. In fact, she didn't want to at all. She just wanted to go to the mall. And the reason she didn't want to go skiing, because it was 12 degrees below zero before the wind. She didn't like skiing that much, but obviously he did. And he was hooping and hollering and, you know, he was into it. So they got in the line to catch the lift. It was a long line. It took some time to get there. And finally, as they were about to get on the lift, the wife said to the husband, I really got to go to the bathroom. He said, oh, no, not now. We'll get out of line and we'll have to start all over. There's bound a place this big, a resort this large. There'll be a place at the top where, you know, bathrooms are. You can go there. Well, guess what wasn't there when they got to the top? No bathrooms. Well, Mr. Genius comes up with another bright idea. Honey, your ski suit is all white. Just ski into the woods over there deep into them, and you'll just blend in with everything else and just, you know, and when you're done, come on back. I'll wait for you right here. She's so desperate, she thinks it's a good idea. She tries it. And she did. She blended in perfectly, all that white. But he forgot to tell her to take her skis off. She shifted weight just a little bit, and the next thing you know, with her ski suit at half mast, she is going backwards down the mountain at full speed, going under the lift she had just ridden up. She doesn't stop until she hits a pylon that she falls over. And something is dreadfully wrong, she can tell. Her arm hurts. Ends up that it's broken. So the ski patrol come, they take her the rest of the way down the mountain and get her to the hospital, and sure enough, it's broken. Well, by now, they've tended to her, cared for her, and she's waiting for a cast to be put on, and she's kind of recollected herself, and the next thing she knows, there's a guy that's brought in off the same mountain right beside her. And he's obviously in pain, too. He broke his leg. What happened? She said, I broke my leg. Well, how'd you do that? He said, it was the darndest thing. He said, I was riding in a ski lift, and I looked down, and all of a sudden, this crazy woman comes flying down backwards, full speed, half-dressed down the mountain. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. So I shifted and leaned over just to make sure I saw what I saw. And I fell out of the lift. And I broke my leg. Well, friends, what I want to tell you is that he then turned to her and said, now, how'd you break your arm? The point is this. Her story is really our story. If we climb certain mountains that we were never meant or made to climb, we'll end up bruised and embarrassed. If we put ourselves in some situations, we'll end up experiencing more stress and hardship than we would have if we'd have just avoided temptation or sin altogether. Now, if that's you and you've recently been tripped up by one and you're hurt and filled with regret, let me remind you of one of the earlier petitions in this prayer. Lord, forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. You can be forgiven. Forgiveness can be yours. You can be cleansed with the blood of Christ from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, washed as clean as snow, Scripture says. But if you're at the place where you're flirting with it right now, no matter what area it might be in, I don't know, but you do, if you're flirting with it, then begin to use the tools that God has provided for us to overcome. Use prayer, use Scripture, use the church body, but also find that good, mature Christian friend who you can share in truth with, but you're also willing to listen and in truth too. These tools will help us all overcome. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that even though we're not perfect, you are. Even though we don't have all the answers, you do. Lord, you provide a way of escape for us when we find ourselves tempted. Lord, help us to use the tools that you've provided, tools that help us to overcome, to avoid evil, to avoid sin and temptation. Lord, if we find ourselves flirting with any type of temptation this morning, no matter what it might be, may the conviction of your Spirit and the light and the hope of your Word and these tools that are promised to us be used to refocus our minds, to change our direction, and to send us walking closely with you, step by step, as a sheep might follow its shepherd. Lord, forgive us all when we've fallen. And if there are those hurting this morning, I pray for healing and forgiveness to come. If there are those who are flirting, I pray for your Spirit and help. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, and deliver us from the evil one. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.